Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
To Riverdale After Dark, a podcast about Riverdale. Let's take it a little trip from the CW to Adult Swim. I'm Alex.
When you chase the darkness like we do, you find it in places you don't necessarily know you're going to get to until you get there. That's who we are. I'm Justin.
And we have two special guests for you on the podcast today. They are the creators of Robot Chicken. Ladies and gentlemen, Seth Green and Matt Seinrich. Oh, man, I messed that up.
Take it again, dog.
And you're a little off, but I'll give it to you. Don't worry.
Senreich.
Senreich. There you go.
Senreich. God damn it.
You nailed it in all of our rehearsals.
I know. Yeah. And we've been rehearsing for hours at this point. Just the name.
The stage show, the stage version of this will be perfect. And that's all that matters.
Exactly. So the Bleepin' Robot Chicken Archie comic special aired on Adult Swim. You can stream it now on adultswim.com. It's coming to HBO Max down the road. So I have a lot of questions about this, but the big one that I want to ask just right off is just like, where did it come from? Where did the Archie Comics fandom come from for you guys? Where did that start?
Gosh, I'd like to blame. We have a writer, one of our head writers, Tom Root. It kind of stemmed from him. He's a huge Archie fanatic. And during his time, he ended up writing the Jughead 200 issue. He's done a lot. What's the 3-4?
Wasn't it Jughead 300?
200, pretty sure. We'll look it up.
You would know.
He always threw it out there and thought it would be a lot of fun to play in that world. And we ended up getting to know John Goldwater through Tom's connection, and it just kind of blossomed from hanging out with him. It really was an afterthought, as weird as that sounds, of like, wouldn't it be fun to just do this? And it evolved into this lovely special.
I grew up loving Archie. I read all the Archie comics. I read all the spin-off of Archie, all the weird outer world stuff. I read like the Harvey comics and all of that stuff. But the Archie stuff was special. And they put out not just the comics, but the digests and the fat double digests. So from the time I was 7 years old till the time I was 15, I rode a train twice a day for at least 90 minutes from Philadelphia to New York for auditions. And so having valuable reading material, especially stuff that could fit in a pocket, was like currency to me. So I got really into Archie comics, and know as a result, a bunch of bizarre, like the Glenn Scarpelli run. I know weird shit about Archie.
That's some deep shit right there.
It really is. Yeah. It goes super deep. So when the possibility, because we had talked about a bunch of different Archie content, not even as Robot Chicken, but just us as Stupid Monkey or us under SBS, we had talked about like a couple, can I even say that? About, yeah, that we had been talking with Archie about developing a horror series of animation for them around like Vampironica and Jughead the Hunger. There's a great anthology in there, and just the stuff that's already been written, doing that as an animated. And I think it would get an entire audience They've gotten closer to it now with Riverdale, but that's actually probably a really solid dovetail. Did I do it?
Yeah, you did. That was an amazing segue to talk about whether, I mean, let's just throw this out there. Do you watch Riverdale? Are you fans of Riverdale? What do you think of Riverdale?
This is the test question that Alex asks everyone.
You have the card, right?
I'll start by saying I watched the first season, and then I apologize for not watching more than that. But I did religiously watch that first season, whereas Seth...
So I watched the first season, and I was like, I don't know. Is this just going to be like some trite BS that is quasi 90210 with a little bit of a Murder, She Wrote? And then by the second season, they were like, no, it's ancestral. And this town has been poisoned for quite some time. And then they spun so many genres that I was like, I guess I'll watch another season of this. And when they started getting into the Black Hood terrorism, and spoiler alert, like Betty's dad, the taking the concept of Polly Cooper and evolving it into this character, getting them into the cult, and Machinamican to do like double agent stuff, and then getting into the snuff films to the point where the kids are putting like play acting, because I learned it by watching you. So it's so great. I'm genuinely in. Like, my wife and I have watched it season to season because it is really well put together, beautifully shot. All the performances are fantastic, and it's a ton of fun. I think about that, they did Carrie the Musical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which was amazing. And it's
Hedwig.
Yeah, right. They go out of their way to let all those kids sing.
Yeah.
And put on a great show.
Yeah.
And give the CW something for the kids to download.
Yeah, maybe that's in the sauce, something to download.
Yeah, probably. But also, it's very entertaining.
Truly, like, after season one, they were like, should we hit the accelerator? And they were like, yes. But rather than going in one direction, let's go in nine. And we're just going to keep doing this until we are literally run out of runway. And they just can't find the end of the road. Just keeps going.
Oh, my God, the LARPing season. Like, it's bananas. But it works. Yeah. I really enjoy it.
That season still feels like some sort of nightmare that just came out of my head and came to life and is on screen. And it's great. I love it. Like, just it does, like Justin's saying, it does so many different things at the same time. And that probably is a good segue to talk about Robot Chicken, which also does a lot of things at the same time and goes in a lot of different directions. The thing that I thought was really interesting about what you guys did with this Archie comic special is it seemed to use every single generation of Archie, every single iteration of it in different ways and different touches. How did you decide when you were starting out, when you were sort of first cracking this, what to pick and choose?
I wish I could say we went in with a very specific way to do this. But usually how we start these specials is all of our writers just start throwing out ideas. And everybody just started coming up with different sketches. And then you kind of see what keeps repeating. And oddly, what kept repeating was the Josie and the Pussycats outer space stuff.
That's the weirdest possible thing.
Well, we were really insistent. They had sent us so much material. They sent us every volume of character breakdown, what are they called? Like giant novels from generational publishings of Archie through the ages, plus just loads and loads of individual comics and new stories and all the different versions and tones and genres that Archie's been. And they were absorbing all of that. And I kept saying, well, we got to do something with Josie in space. Because you remember at one point, this incredibly successful pop band was getting a tour of, I guess, NASA, and like leaned on something and accidentally shot a rocket with only their band and manager and their cat into space. And now they're traveling around in space.
Still rocking it though. So they still find time to get the band together and get some practice.
Well, we
thought
that was a great premise. I kept pushing that, I'm pretty sure. And I'm pretty sure I was like, we need to do something with this. And then everybody said, the bleeps, because the bleeps are just sort of accepted in the Josie world as not an alien threat that's a virus that could be murderous. They're just like, it's a breeding invading alien. I guess we'll just let this be our cute pal as we, do gigs on other planets and hope they have an atmosphere comparable to ours so our head doesn't explode. Didn't talk about that ever.
When did the idea of a du jour reunion come up?
I think that was early on. I mean,
I gotta think it was pretty early on.
Yeah, Brecken was in the writer's room.
Yeah, it's one of those things where once we started doing it, we knew it was gonna, we were gonna do something with it. We didn't know exactly what, but we thought it'd be a nice little tip of the hat.
It only made sense. Everybody that's in du jour, with the exception of Alex Martin, is like a regular constant on Robot Chicken. So we knew Brecken and Donald were going to be a part of it somehow. And then we were like, I guess we do something with du jour.
I don't know if this is getting too wonky, but what are the rights issues involved when you're doing something like that? Because that's something that exists in the movie. It is Archie Comics, but it's in now that.
The upside is how, it's like chain of exploitation capability underlined in the rights of exploitation in ownership. But it goes from Universal back to Archie Comics because they're the principal owner. And arguably anything that's created on its behalf becomes its canon and its characters to exploit. It's not like a creator agreement, like even Paul Dini with Harley Quinn, arguably.
Right.
It's nebulous, but with this kind of thing, there's no debate about it that Goldwater and Archie get the final say in how it's exploited.
For those of you listening, Seth just closed his eyes and just that spouted out of him spontaneously. I don't know what there's a lawyerly possession of some sort there.
It's funny because that's actually sadly true that I've had to become somewhat. At least I've had to at least really understand the semantics of the law around fair use parody and trademark.
Of course, that's like the whole thing. Like how you guys got to do that dance every day. I got to think.
I passed that baton on with Robot Chicken a few years ago. I was like, our clearance lawyer and everybody that works on the show understands how to do this. I'm never going to have these calls again.
I mean, we'll get back to the special in a second, but just to stay on Josie and the Pussycats for a moment, because it was the 20th anniversary just passed. It really feels like that movie has very much taken on a life of its own, particularly recently in the past couple of years. Why do you think that is?
I think it's such a smart and sophisticated, fearless reflection of the nihilistic marketing machine that's behind every creative offering at a studio level, no matter how well-intentioned it is. And if anything, it suffered from not being an R-rated movie that went further. But I think people at the time were expecting something that played ball the way that any other exploitation of a major brand had. And instead, it was kind of a scathing dissection of the entire concept of pop music as a product, and what kind of emotional struggle the artists would have in an age where there's no longer such a thing as selling out. So I think that's aged very well. And because it was a lot of people that have especially gone on to do other things. And also you can't understate how beloved and valuable all of the Archie icons are, like just inherently. They do such great stuff. They have historically, and it's the same thing as the DC characters. You can't break them. You can just sort of bend them and give them a different kind of life that's palatable. But I think that's why it's found a resurgence, because it feels like something punk rock that happened within the system, and just its existence is a great proof of concept for any rebellion.
Yeah. Getting back to the special, I mean, talking about like this bending without breaking thing, obviously you guys push it very far with this special, but you already have, like we were talking about earlier, you got Riverdale that's doing insane stick monsters. You've got cults and organ stealing and all these things. I imagine the answer is probably no. But
found a bunker in the ground and they're just like, no, this is our bunker now.
They made a sex schedule for the bunker, Seth. So there
at
you go.
At this point on the show, Riverdale, they are referencing themselves. They're making fun of themselves in the way they do, like, every episode. So
it's incredible.
It's wild they get away with that, and so of course it makes sense.
Well, but given that you have this,
what made you say I want to do this Riverdale podcast?
Because there's a fucking for profit prison fight club. Who would want to host a conversation about that?
Where was that spark? Like, what was the moment in Riverdale where you guys were like, we need to do this based on this moment that happened?
Well, it's funny. We thought, you know, we were Archie Comics fans growing up. Like, I was a Double Digest guy. I grew up in the country, so the grocery store, it was like the only thing in the checkout line I could point to. And my mom was like, yeah, that's good. No, no Weekly World News, no candy. That's fine. So we had a love of it. And then we were like, oh, this will be fun and funny. It's like a kid's show. And then we started watching. We're like, this is not a kid's show. This is like this weird, dark overture shit, deep. Everything happens so fast. It's just so fast that you cannot, the conversations are wild. You can make fun of it and love it at the same time. And I think that's sort of the root of the podcast.
I'm just waiting for that one moment though, that you saw going, this is what we got to do. We saw it on screen. What was that one moment?
I think it was the trailer, honestly. Like, I was for real, because like Justin's saying, same sort of thing. Loved Archie Comics as a kid. I had heard about Riverdale, heard about the show, heard they were doing a dark reinvention. But like you were mentioning, I had read the horror books. I really liked what Archie was doing, kind of aging things up. So I sort of expected something in those lines. And then I was actually at the upfront presentation where they first showed the trailer, the CW. And I was like, this is crazy. Jason Blossom got killed, like shot straight in the head. So I talked to Justin and Pete, our third host who isn't here, and just was like, hey, I think we should just try to do something. It was actually our first TV podcast. And since then, we've started a bunch of other TV podcasts where we recap stuff. And the rest of them, like, they're good. And I love talking about the stuff. But there's something about Riverdale when we're talking about it. It makes you feel like a crazy person.
Alex is like, they murder a kid. I have to talk about it.
Yeah, but it's also like Cheryl Blossom spends a whole season with the corpse of her twin in a basement, like ramshackle shrine that she keeps locked from everyone else, but is haunted by, like, not even to mention all of the low pro positive culture, pro body positivity, like celebration of self stuff, stuff that they give you without any politicking. It's just like, this is the show that we're making. It's all really good.
And I mean, I think Cheryl's a great answer to answer your question, Matt. Like, I feel like Cheryl from the jump was this character that was simultaneously like so self-serious, so crazy, and at the same time making fun of herself and everyone else at the same time. And it was like, oh, this show has so much confidence out of the gate. And that got us fully on board, I think.
Well, also, they're all really good at it. Like, that's the thing. Nobody's trying to sell you on something that your brain tells you is false. Like, all of the performers are great at performing. And so when they're like, I'm the best fucking cheerleader, singer, dancer, they back it up with a routine. And you're like, oh, I guess you're really good at that. Instead of thinking, oh, I guess they had to teach the lead a choreography.
Yeah. I mean, Hiram is the villain, and he is a god of, he's like, gets more jacked every season, despite the fact that he's like, I'm dying. He's like, I have a muscular disease. And then he's like, it's only making me stronger, you idiots.
I love Mark Consuelos in this role.
He's
right?
So
like,
good.
Who would have thought, but he's so fun in that role. And the stuff with him and KJ, like, it just gets better and better.
Wait, Seth, before we move on from this, do you ship anything on the show? Do you have any ships?
Ooh, good call.
I guess it's the wrong use of it, but it's Jughead and his dad.
No,
you know, you don't call it ship like really that. Funny. But man, if ever there were people that needed each other, you know what I mean? It's those two.
That's the sweetest answer. Like this father son just need to hang more.
Nobody talks about. I don't know if you guys have covered that, but all the stuff they did for Luke Perry was so great. Like, I thought they handled that in an unbelievable way. And the way I was just thinking about that today because I knew I was going to do this podcast, but how well they made it not nobody's fault, but like they really let Archie as a character explore grief and anger and sadness and forgiveness in such a powerful way. And they didn't try and do it in a single episode. They gave you like a season because it was that significant, you know. When Luke Perry dies, it was significant, not just to the show, but to those characters. So I really appreciated how well they handled that. And it was, I thought, just fantastic performances all around.
Yeah, that's so well said. They really let him ride. And even still, you can still see it resonating. It's not like they're like, well, let's not talk about that anymore. It's like, no, this is in the show. This is part of the story.
Getting back to Robot Chicken, though, Matt, I do want to ask you, I mean, just what we were talking about before. No, we can obviously talk about Riverdale all day.
Right now, and I know where I'm going after this. I'm going to end up watching a little bit more of this.
I can't believe crying. You're crying through this, Matt. It's amazing how we've touched you.
So there are some touches of Riverdale and Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, I think, in the special. So what did you decide to hit on? How did you decide what was going to work for this versus just keeping it in classic Archie Comics world?
I'll tell you the truth. We allowed the idea that we could play on things that had happened in Riverdale, but that we wanted the aesthetic of the comics and the cartoons. So the idea that Archie and Miss Grundy slept together is never in the comics, and it's exclusive to Riverdale, but we thought funny, or we actually did a sketch about that, about Greg. It was Greg pitching the original take on it where they didn't change Miss Grundy's age.
Just do the scene straight with just old Grundy.
That's the sketch we did from the first season, and it's just the dialogue. It's so silly, but Berlanti was in on that. Well, that was it. We were like, okay, some things are all right. The idea that Polly's in a mental institution, we're like, that could work for us. And we really wanted to play on Sabrina, but there's not a ton of territory. So we did it where we could. And then it just comes down to, you know, you got more stuff written than you could ever produce. And so when you actually finalize the document that's going to get recorded, we've already cut away a lot of stuff. And we've been very realistic about what the story is going to be and what we're going to actually need to shoot for this thing to make any sense at the end. So we prioritized those kinds of sketches, and we wanted a story. You know, the principal thing about Archie is this, we realized he's kind of a piece of shit. You know, he's the noble good guy who gets credit for being awesome and being a white knight, but he's also been gaslighting both of these women for more than 50 years. So that's dark, right? And being indecisive to the degree that you've never let either of these women off the hook to ever have a relationship outside of you, that's pretty sociopathic. And so we thought, that's what we delve into, right? Where did that come from? And then let's see some exploration of that, which was really fun. But aside from that, we just made it like an exciting invasion story where herpes saves the day.
A classic Spally yarn. And while we're talking about Grundy, she's sort of a big winner out of this. Are you guys Grundy fans? Is that because Grundy winner, Weatherby? Yeah. Big L for him over the course of this special.
That was actually, we had a joke with Jared Harris that it's a continuing trend of his characters dying by hanging.
True. Put it in the continuum. It's real.
But with Grundy, that the whole thing about her with the baseline, I don't even remember why. Who pitched Grundy with the baseline? That was early. And then aping that.
That's probably
that painting. We didn't even wind up getting that tableau the way we wanted it. The whole, you know, that, what is it? What's it called? It's the European invasion. It's the woman leading everyone into battle, but her breast is exposed, and it's
right
this gothic empowerment moment, and we were like, let's make it that was where the whole Grundy leading it came from. I don't remember how the bass guitar got involved.
It's from the painting, the original painting. I think she's holding a rudimentary bass breast out.
But definitely full Grundy stan, whatever age she exists.
Is there, for anybody who hasn't seen the special who's listening, you probably know Robot Chicken, so you know things get a little extreme, but there's things like, one of the things that made me laugh the loudest was just slamming Reggie's dick in a locker. Is there a point where you're like, you know what, this is too much, or is it never too much?
No, that we no.
I'd say the stuff that probably made us the most uncomfortable in the big conversation were the songs. They're really borderline inappropriate. Like, yeah, are they funny or just uncomfortable? Is it worth hearing? You know, because yeah, like looking at it, Archie and Veronica go on this killing spree together, and is that a funny thing, or is this like,
yeah, it's a little Oliver Stone for us, but there was something beautiful and artistic in the darkness of it, and also an odd penance in a way for this character that's never really subjected to consequences for all the lives he's ruined along the way.
Well, and I love the idea that when Archie finally makes a choice, it's to become a serial killer on a spree with, if he actually ever does that, it just breaks everything. And I really like that piece. That was good.
Thanks.
Before we start to wrap up here, I'm going to ask you guys the choice that Archie makes at the end, Betty or Veronica. Matt, you want to go?
Oh, Jesus.
Well, who do we think?
Yeah.
That's well represented, guys. That was the that's the actual that we recorded that in real time, like gun to his head. We got it. We got the answer. It's in the special.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think any of us disagreed with Archie's choice.
Nobody was like, really? Betty? Wow.
Oh, no. Do you mean us personally? Personally, yeah. Choose? Yeah. If I was Archie, Betty, man, I was got that ponytail.
Wow. I see that where the line comes from right there. He's got that ponytail.
That's my line.
No way.
I was the one who said it.
That's my favorite. I love making Matt play like big burly thugs.
Do you go Betty?
Would I go Betty? I probably, but the truth is I married some weird fusion of the two of them.
There's the secret right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Matt, did you have an answer?
I know, we got to pick one or the other. I'd probably go Veronica, I think. I like the dark hair. I think that's
mean, rich, full bush. Yeah, Veronica.
I don't know. That's probably where I'd end up, knowing me. I don't know. Who would you have? You had to choose.
What's that?
You have to choose.
Oh, you know, me and Skeet Ulrich will go off on a mountain somewhere and like live a serene life, knowing that the boy is safe doing his own thing.
That guy in real life is always building his porch and doing outside stuff. So that's a good choice.
He's the
right
best,
there.
Man. That's the funny thing. Like we went to Comic-Con and all the kids were there and I just hung out with them. That was the moment I knew I was the adult because the people that I knew for years were the adults. They were like, let me introduce you to these kids I'm working with.
No,
I don't care. I kind of love it. I think because I started so young, I love getting to be one of the adults now. It's actually really fun.
The Archie the Riverdale continuum, it's generations.
There you go. Exactly. Eventually they're going to have their own kids and the show will just go on forever, as yours will, because you're going to do season 11, right? Coming in the fall.
Yeah. We're in full swing on it. Yeah. I think they showed the first trailer of it. I don't know if you saw it, Seth.
I did see that trailer. Yeah, I was excited. There's a whole new opening. We're trying to, I don't know that anyone except for the diehards are really paying attention to the sophisticated canon we've created behind the scenes for our own characters, but we the last season ended with our scientist speaking for the first time and explaining that this has all been a 10-year experiment to learn what happens when you inject the human brain to experience a constant torrent of pop information. What happens? And then he's got the perfect joke. Matt, do you want to give the punchline?
I'll let. Oh, man.
So that was the end of last season. And so this season is like sort of a, what is it now? And we have a rebirth in our new opening sequence. We've kind of taken on some crazy different stuff. I won't say it's a different type of season, but it definitely feels like an evolution.
I agree.
I mean, other than the season, though, this is the first special that you guys have done since The Walking Dead one in 2017. Do you see...
That's 17, really? Wow.
I think so. Do you think you'd want to do something like this again? I mean, is this more of an undertaking versus what you're doing on the week-to-week show, or is it about kind of the same thing?
No, we
really enjoy the opportunity. I mean, I don't want to for you, but I like when we get to put a half hour at a particular subject, especially if the company is in on it, because then we get a different level of capability to make something. And most of these companies recognize that even if their IP is a gravely serious thing like The Walking Dead, that there's not just an opportunity, but also an audience for something that's more comedic, that doesn't cannibalize the value of the other thing. It doesn't make the other thing cease to have the same bite or gravity, but it can expand the brand mm-hmm. into a different territory in a way that also lets people have fun with something that scares them. So I love when we get to do it.
I feel like stuff like that, like those people have been making those jokes for the same style. Like, oh God, it's so great to see it explored. You know, like they have to be so serious about every aspect of Walking Dead to be like, yes, finally they can see something that actually feels that expresses that side of it.
Yeah. And when Andy Lincoln recorded for us, and it was like a blissful experience because he's a brilliant, brilliant actor, but he applied the same level of dramatic integrity to the silliest of jokes, and it made them just unbelievably funny. Just so, so funny.
Was there any thought of getting Riverdale actors for the special, or did it feel like...
I'll only say this, and it's probably even a little talking out of school. We, at Comic-Con, you know, we were still talking about doing these animated shows, doing the Jughead, the Hunger. And so I had made a show with Brenda Song, who was on Suite Life with Cole. And so when I saw Cole at Comic-Con, I'm like, oh, you're the guy, you're the little kid that worked with my buddy for years. I was like, oh, let's hang out. I'll talk with this guy. And even the better part, I've known Skeet for so long that Skeet was like, come meet my son. So we were chatting up that kid all night. And at one point he talked to John, I guess, John Goldwater, and was like, what's up with this Jughead cartoon? And I said, oh, somebody told you about this potential Jughead cartoon. And he goes, I want to play the Jughead. And I'm like, let me hear your werewolf. I'm just fucking with him. And then, but all night he was like, you know, not weird about it, but also I thought serious, like I want to play Jughead, the animated version. So when this special came up, we tried to get him. Then there was something about timing and contracts and billing and stuff, and it didn't happen. I still don't know exactly why.
Just close your eyes and see what lawyer shit comes out. do explain it.
I stayed out of the.
Stayed out of them. Good.
If they don't need me, nobody needs me in the deal making. You know what I'm saying?
Fuck no.
If you were to do a sequel to this Archie comic special, do you think is there a way of doing like a Riverdale Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, that specific world? Or is that, like we've been talking about already, too extreme to push it even further?
I think there's definitely a way. I still think we keep the visual style, like those figures that we were using, but taking those personalities, I think we lean into that. It just starts with what's that overlying through line that we can play with. Once we have that, anything can happen.
I love the Sabrina world too. That show was great. I was bummed when they ended it.
It needed one more season. That was it. And they could have wrapped everything up. Too bad. But I'm glad you guys are getting another season. That's very exciting. Everybody should check out the Bleepin' Robot Chicken Archie comic special on adultswim.com, coming to HBO Max soon. Matt and Seth, thank you so much for coming on. It was a pleasure chatting.
Absolute pleasure.
My pleasure.
Great talking to you guys.
You too.
I'm going to watch Riverdale right now.
You've been missing
you
out.
Better.
You fool.
We'll be back here next week, and you need to just finish. I imagine watching all seasons between in 1 week, you'd lose your mind, and that's what we want to see. One week today.
Yeah, it is great. I don't know what I would have done if we'd binged this. Like, watching it week to week really lets you absorb the
eyeball taped back situation.
And if you'd like to support our podcast, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Crowdcast and YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about Riverdale. iTunes, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice to subscribe and listen to the show. Riverdale Dark on Twitter, Riverdale After on Instagram, Riverdale After Dark on Facebook, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast, and many more. Until next time, we'll see you after Bleepin' Dark.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.